Scripture reading for this evening you can find in 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22. We'll begin at verse 8. Let us hear the word of God to us tonight. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Akbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Akbor, and Shaphan, and Azariah, went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem, in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. As far the holy word of God. The congregation, when we have a conversation with someone, we speak with each other and we listen to each other. If only one person would speak all the time, we really don't have conversation. We have no dialogue, but monologue. If one dominates the conversation, then, as it were, the traffic of words goes only one way. In a sense, so it is also between the Lord and us. If we would pray without searching the scriptures, without reading the Bible, it is like talking to God without giving him, reverently spoken, an opportunity to speak to us. And so it is also when we read the Bible, when God speaks to us, but we do not in response pray to him. There is no conversation, there is no communication, no fellowship. Last Sunday, we heard, as it were, both sides in the morning the emphasis was on the cry to God from the ends of the earth to be led to the rock that is higher than I. But in the evening, then we hear that there is also an answer from God. He does speak. He does hear. We cry to God. He hears us. And He speaks to us. The question is, are we really hearing Him when He speaks to us? You see, if you have such a daily conversation, if I may put it that way, such a communion and fellowship with God through His Word, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, guided by His Holy Spirit, if that is something that you seek daily, and you know when you look back every day, you come short in the way you've done it, but it's your desire to grow in it, then the Lord's Supper is for you. If you cannot live without the living Word, without that rock, if you need Him and desire Him for your portion, then you are a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper. But you see, if not, if this is not your daily seeking and your daily responding and your daily hearing, then you're not only ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, not only not ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, but, dear friend, then you're not ready to meet God either. Then you're not ready to die. May God give us a heart like Josiah, as we hope to hear from the Word of God, from the text that we have read from 2 Kings 22, verse 19. May we read something of how Josiah responded to the word that came to him. Verse 19, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." We see in the text the response of King Josiah to the Word of God. And with God's help, we wish to meditate with you on a heart tender to the Word. A heart tender to the Word. In the first place, we will consider a twofold hearing. A twofold hearing. In the second place, an inquiring faith. An inquiring faith. And in the third place, a true repentance. A true repentance. A heart tender to the Word. May the Holy Spirit grant us a willingness and an honesty to lay our heart right beside the heart of King Josiah. We hear in our text, "When thou heardest what I spake against this place," the Word of God coming to Josiah, "when you heard what I said about this place, about this country, about this city," that's Josiah. Josiah, when you heard it. But then later in the text, you noticed that it's also speaking of the hearing that the Lord does, where we read, "I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." So we have a twofold hearing here. And the Bible speaks about hearing, meaning to be responding. Responding in word and in action. Hearing is not something that will take place with the ear only, or with the understanding or mind only, but it's with the heart, yes, with hands and feet. Hearing in Scripture is a response with the entire person. Boys and girls, when sometimes your dad says to you, He asked you the question, son, daughter, did you hear me? And then you said maybe, yes, Dad, I heard you. But you know that your dad wasn't just talking about listening, but he was talking about obeying. Did you do what I said? Maybe a chore that you had forgotten. Or maybe you kept reading while you were told to go to bed, or something like that. But that's what the Bible also indicates many times when it speaks about hearing. It's about responding with word, with actions. Well, King Josiah certainly did respond, did he not? We already heard that last time that he responded not only to the convicting voice of his conscience when the Holy Spirit prompted him to start cleansing the land and the temple and all that, but especially he was convicted when he heard the word and he responded immediately. He saw that verse 11, when he heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. But he did more than that. He didn't only confess sin and acknowledge that, but he went into action. He went into all kinds of action. He responded. And the Lord says, I've seen it. In that text, we read, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place. Thine heart was tender. The word tender literally means softened. In other words, it was made pliable. Like soft, wet clay that can be molded. Josiah softened. He responded to the word of God by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In contrast to others, in contrast to the rest of the city and of the nation, who hardened themselves, who are hard, not pliable, not responsive, who lifted themselves up in pride, thinking they could get away with sinning and serving other gods instead of the only true God, their God, the Lord God. But Josiah was humbled before God, not proud. He didn't say to the people when he heard the word of God and say, see what I've done? See already how much I've done for the Lord? What I'm still doing for the Lord? He could have easily said that. He could have easily thought that that word was not for him, but for the people, for the city, and for the nation. Because had he not been diligent to serve the Lord? But he put his hand in his own bosom, and he realized that what he had done came short of the glory of God. He did not have difficulty with the sins of others, though he had plenty of reason from our perspective. But he rent his clothes. He realized that he was guilty with his fathers and with his people. You see, Josiah didn't look down upon the others. He humbled himself. It's hard, isn't it, when you humble yourself to look down on others? If you still do look down on others, could that perhaps be a sign that you're not humbled? The Bible speaks about esteeming other higher than self. If you're in the right place before God, dear congregation, then you cannot look down on others. He thought more on what he had not done than what he had done. And that's with a soul that rightly looks at himself before the all-seeing eye of God. He humbles himself. Dear congregation, how do you hear the word of God? Are you truly hearing it? More than just listening with your ear? More than just knowing it? But also doing it? James makes it so plain, does he not, when he says in chapter 1, 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you be a hearer of the word only, and only things take place internally and it doesn't bear
fruit. It doesn't come out visible. It means we're deceiving ourselves. So what we all do by nature, and too many times you do that even upon receiving grace. However, the Lord Jesus speaks His comforting word in John 5:25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." And that's such a wonderful, continual present tense. "Now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." The focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. However deplorable our situation is, however we are coming short of the glory of God, even the most advanced in grace among us, the living Word continues to come to us, even tonight, entering into a spiritually dead sinner to make him alive. And again make him lively when he sinks away in deadness. What a wonder is, as it was with Israel, that the rock followed them from which they were to drink each time, that spiritual rock which was Jesus Christ. So the Word follows us as the living Word, coming to sinners who are dead in trespasses and sins. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He works to respond in sinners that are not alive, and He makes them alive by the Word. Sinners that cannot see, and He gives them sight. Like Isaiah 35, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." That's what happens when the Word is preached. Convicting us of the truth about God and of ourself. And we see the Lord God being a holy God, dwelling in a purity and a perfection of holiness and righteousness that can we not even begin to attain to. And we see ourselves in response and must do like Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone." But then to realize that we do not perish. For that purpose that the Lord shows us His majesty and glory, when He comes through His Word, it is not to destroy, but to save. Even at this time for the people of Judah, even though their destruction was determined, God still comes with a word of mercy. And that's exactly what Josiah laid hold on, and he cried for mercy. And he knows that mercy is to be seen and desired in the one and only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Of course, in his days, it was all shrouded in mystery, but he knew that the sacrifice in the temple was the picture of the salvation of God, when the fiery wrath of God would consume the substitutes, the animals, so that man could live. Though it was in a limited way, yet they knew that salvation was only through Christ Jesus. So the response is born. Is that response of yours in your heart? Like we heard Sunday morning, from the end of the earth, "Well, I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." But then also to see and hear from the Word of God that the Lord will answer that prayer. He hears. It's not only that we hear Him, but that He hears us. "I also have heard thee," saith the Lord. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? The Lord says, "I heard you." And then we remember what I said about the word hearing. That doesn't mean that the Lord has been listening to us and that He then turns away from us. But it means the very same thing. When we truly hear, we respond. So when God hears, He responds. Yes, greater than that, He already has responded. Even before our need arose. The Lord Jesus came to suffer and die even before we were born. When we find in Psalm 130, when iniquity and sin overwhelms us, then we find, "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." We don't have to come to God to persuade Him. He is already persuaded, even before we come. He's hearing. He's a hearing and an answering God. He says it in many places. Throughout Scripture, every page testifies of it. Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Both promises. "I will," the Lord says, "and thou shalt." In other words, it's not a command only, but it's a provision. The Lord says, "You will do it, because I will guarantee it. I will work it. I work it from the very beginning. I will respond to you." With praise and obedience, we are called to respond to Him. With thankfulness, rejoicing that there is salvation to be found with God, that He is filled with plenteous redemption, compassion. "I will deliver thee." But He also demands our response. Repentance and faith, obedience, including partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, "Do this if you feel like it." But He says, "Do this in remembrance of me, in what I've done for you." We find that later also in the next chapter when King Josiah does all these things, but he also celebrates the Passover. We hope to hear more about that Sunday morning, God willing. But that's part of the response in obedience. So if a twofold hearing, we hear Him, He hears us. We see that in Josiah. And there's a twofold hearing because there's a twofold speaking. There's fellowship, there's communion, there's words going back and forth. God speaks to us. What a wonder that God speaks to us and that we may speak to Him. But through the Word, through that living way, the way whereby God comes to us and whereby we go back to Him. He truly is the mediator. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life, He's everything. And we look to Him. Is that what you do? Is your only hope in Him? No hope in yourself? Then you belong at the table this coming Lord's Day. You pray over an open Bible that is seeking fellowship and communion with the Lord. Praying over an open Bible. Praying with your eyes open. Do you do that sometimes? You read a few verses and you cannot but respond in prayer. Perhaps convicting. Perhaps comforting. Whatever it may be. Sorrowing, grieving. Sometimes shedding tears. Both at once. Sorrow and joy. That's having fellowship. That's having something of that twofold hearing that Josiah experienced as well. Communion with God through Christ by the Holy Spirit. A heart hearing God. A heart heard by God. And so we know that Paul says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It brings us to a second point, an inquiring faith. A heart tender with the Word and to the Word of God is not only pertaining to a twofold hearing, but also will prompt an inquiring faith. Not just to hear, but to hear what is spoken, what is said. Taking heed of the content of the words that come to us. Not only seeking for the feelings they produce, but hearing, what does the Lord say? What does He really say? Does He mean it, what He says? And of course, who would dare to say that the Lord does not mean what He says? We can find the accusation with you and me many times that we do not entirely, exactly mean what we say. But that can never be held against the Lord. Josiah took the word of God for what it was. The Lord says himself in that text, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should come, that they should become a desolation and a curse against the inhabitants of this place. That included Josiah. None was excluded in that statement. God was angry with the nation of Israel, with his beloved city, because they had forsaken him. The words were not only heard by Josiah, but they sank into his soul. Has the word of God sunk in your soul? Have you realized, and are you perhaps realizing at this time, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be without God, without hope in the world? That without him, the only thing you can expect is utter ruin and eternal condemnation. A desolation and a curse, we read in our text. That's all that's reserved for Israel, for the people of God, for those that were called after God's name. Maybe you've heard this many times. You've always known these truths, always believed them, but have they become a personal conviction of your own soul? Like it was with Josiah. Did it become ever real to you? That you could not anymore let it rest. That you had to know. Not only know in an outward way, not only know in a formal way, but in a way that you could not find rest for your soul. And you said, I'll not let thee go, Lord, unless and until and except thou bless me. You see, by God's fatherly timing, fatherly providence, the word of God hit home. Josiah heard. In verse 10, we read that he rent his clothes. Verse 13, he sent 5 men to inquire of the word of the Lord. He gave evidence of an inquiring faith. A searching faith. And he knew where he had to direct it. He had to go to the word of God. He had to hear more from the Lord. He wanted to know for sure. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know the truth so that the truth could set him free. He did just like these Bereans did. When Paul preached to them, they believed his word. They received it, it says in verse 11 of Acts 17. They received the word with all readiness of mind. You see that they too were dealing with the content of the words that were preached to them. Just like Josiah, where the Lord says, thou heardest what I spake against this place. So the Bereans received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That was not a faithless searching. That was not an unbelieving seeking. Do you, dear congregation, so search the scriptures daily? Whether those things that you have heard from the pulpit are really true. Not with a critical mind, but with a desire to find the truth. And to be set free. Searching the scriptures. The Bereans only had the Old Testament. Maybe fragments from the New Testament. But Josiah did not have the written word as the Bereans had and as we have it today. how much more do we have to search? Jesus' word, His very own word, they are they which testify of me, so that they may look to Him and be set free indeed. So Josiah did not have this Bible like we have it to turn to. So he did what was available to him in his day. He sent for the prophetess to hear the word of God from Huldah, the prophetess. Huldah lived in Jerusalem. We read about her in the college, it says. Really literally it says in the second quarter of town. And she was there and she was known to be a woman of God, a woman of wisdom, a prophetess in this case. We know that Jeremiah was a prophet and Zephaniah as well in the days of King Josiah. But Jeremiah lived in Anathoth in Benjamin. And I'm not sure where Zephaniah lived at that time, but it was a matter of urgency. He went to those that would be nearby to hear the word of God. So it's a good thing to do when we have the word of God hit home in our hearts and when we seek for the truth. Of course, we turn to the scriptures and we pray to God. But it's good too to go to fellow believers, to office bearers, to your pastors and seek advice from them and guidance from the word of God and pray together. Pray together over an open Bible. That's what the Lord blesses. Josiah didn't question God when he went to inquire. When he says, go you inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, in verse 13, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. He doesn't question it at all. Listen, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, including himself. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. You see that he takes the word and receives it as an authority in his life. He didn't question God, but he believed that from his own perspective and from the perspective of the sins of the people, there'd be no hope. The wrath of God was about to be poured forth. Verse 16. The word from Huldah confirms it. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. As I said before, likely from Deuteronomy 28 and 29, maybe that section indeed was read by Shaphan to the king, that judgment that was pronounced if they would not obey, if they would not serve the Lord, if they would turn aside to serving idols, then this wrath of God would be poured forth upon them. That's what we read in verse 17 as the reason. Because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Certain judgment will come upon this earth too. It's reserved for the fire of the final judgment. It will certainly come. From our perspective, from human perspective, there's no hope for this earth that it will be redeemed, not in the way anyway that perhaps we would like it to have redeemed, but it shall be, of course, there shall come a new heaven and a new earth, but it will be in an entire different way. No hope from man's side. Yet from God's perspective, there is great hope. And the perspective of God is the perspective of the Word of God. As we have it from the Word of God, we can try to pry in all kinds of things, secret, future, as well as past. But that's exactly what Deuteronomy 29:29 also sets before the people of Israel and before us. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So Moses, when he concludes these words to Israel, he says it very plainly before them that they are not to look into the things that belong to God. They have the revealed will of God in the word of God, the words of this law, that we may do them, he says. Not just hearing, but doing the word of God. It's never been another word, never been another message but this. But if not, then it would be cursed. And so it is today, still today, the very same word. But if they do return, if they do serve the Lord, then it is blessing. And you can just imagine the people of Israel hearing the words of the law in Deuteronomy as they come to the end of the chapters, the final chapters of Deuteronomy, where the people of God, about to enter into the promised land, are overwhelmed by all these demands that the Lord sets before them, all the perfections that are required of them. But then we read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, where Moses encourages them. He says, "The word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." In other words, it's not just commanded, but the Lord says, I will give you such a perfect provision that you can do it. Not in your own strength, but by means of that word, the living word. And how near it is to us, in our mouths and in our hearts, that thou mayest do it. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul uses this in the New Testament and quotes this particular passage in Romans 10 verse 8. And he says, what is that word that is in our heart and in our mouth that we may do it? He says, the word of faith, which we preach, that if we shall confess, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see that the Apostle Paul and Moses come from with the very same word. All aiming at the living word, the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. All that he would come to do, his perfect obedience, even unto the death, that is our only hope, that we could even begin to obey. And have hope of salvation and eternal life. Why is it all true? Well, how many times did we read in this passage, "Thus saith the Lord"? He speaks. The covenant-keeping God, Jehovah, the Lord who saves. That's the reason the very word came. That's the reason the word comes today. Though it speaks of condemnation and of curses, yet through it, it declares the way of life. We would be more cursed and more miserable if we would never hear this word. Hearing the word gives hope. That's what Josiah realized. Covenant-keeping Lord, faithful and true. Though we, as the people of Israel, are faithless, unfaithful, backslidden, but the Lord comes back to us with the living word so that we may be revived again and again. Particularly, not only by the word, but also this coming Sabbath with the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So that we may be drawn back to him again and in a very special way of fellowship with him, not only in his word, but also in eating the bread and drinking the wine. The wrath of God indeed was foretold, and it did come down upon who? Upon the substitute. The very same thing that Josiah sought to restore, the temple service with all these animals dying in the flames, being consumed by the fire of the altar, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God indeed was poured forth from heaven, but consumed the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Poured on His Son, who never had done anything amiss, so that we who have done everything amiss may be right with God. The cross, suffering, agony of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then we read in the form that we should never be forsaken. No hope in you, that's what the Lord says. There's no hope in you, no hope in any one of us. But He says, there is every hope in me. And that's why He says, do this in remembrance of me. Not only the Lord's Supper must be held in remembrance of Him, but even the very preaching and the searching of the Word of God. For that's what we seek, to see, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Him, the wrath of God and the love of God met. He not only suffered the unspeakable wrath of God, eternal, undivided wrath of God, but we must remember and we must remind each other time and again that it is because of love that it went, that He went through this all. He suffered the wrath of God, but it was the love of God that brought it about. As we read in Psalm 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And therefore, there is forgiveness with God, but not without repentance. And we wish to see that in our third point, a true repentance. Even justice is served in the salvation of a poor sinner who looks to Christ. Salvation is a just salvation. The Lord does not need to violate any of His justice and holiness, for He's perfectly satisfied with His Son. And He makes it plain to us, even tonight, from His Word. But destruction is determined for Judah, because they remain unrepentant. And so it is with this world. Destruction is determined, for the world remains at large unrepentant. Against this place, the Lord says, thou heardest what I spake against this place and the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. But there is a but in this passage, as there is all through the Word in verse 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes. See, the word now is not just about the nation, but about this individual, this King Josiah. No hope for the nation. Perhaps no hope indeed for the world at large, but for those individuals that hear and repent, there is hope. Because, the Lord says, thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake. And because thou hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. I heard you. I saw what you did. I saw that you heard my word, that you repented, that you rent your clothes, and that you wept before me. I saw that. I heard your cry. Your heart is tender to my word. That you humbled yourself. That you wept. Now, is Josiah's repentance the reason then that the Lord would hear him? That's how it seems to be. Because your heart was tender, because you humbled yourself, because you wept before me. Of course it's not the cause. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the work of God. And yet we notice the wording of our text, and we find it many times throughout Scripture. The words are written as if it depends on what they do. If they do not repent, destruction and curses. If they do repent, blessing, salvation. How many times do we find the words because and if not? Throughout the Word of God. We find it in the New Testament, 1 John 1 verse 9, so very plainly, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess. If only we would do that, then He is faithful to respond. Faithful and just. It doesn't hinge on our work, and yet it doesn't go without our repentance. It doesn't go without our confessing. But the reason is that He is faithful and just. We read carefully, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful, for He said He will. He is true to His word. Just, because He is satisfied in the perfect satisfaction of His Son. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the reason is very simple. In 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But not without repentance. Not because of repentance, but by way of and by means of repentance. You see what God is doing? He is receiving His very work in us as if it is done by us. When He spurs Josiah to do all these things. And when Josiah then responds, and of course the Lord will respond to, for He worked it in the very first place. And so it is still today. If you feel prompted to confess your sins and seek and search the Scriptures and take refuge to Christ, of course He will receive you. But that's why He worked all these things. Faith, indeed, is His gift. Yet as we exercise it, He is pleased with us and with our faith. For it's His very work. But so often when we are going through that, it seems like as if we are struggling around and about. We don't realize that it's the Lord in us at first. That it's His gracious work in us. For we see ourselves worse than we ever did before. But we also begin to see that to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's precious. I need to know Him. I must know Him. And the power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His suffering. So it's His work. Salvation is of the Lord. But the Lord uses very plain words when He speaks to us. Because thine heart was tender. Because thou hast humbled thyself. Because thou hast wept before Me. I've heard you. It doesn't go unnoticed. How could it go unnoticed if the Lord Himself worked it? In Deuteronomy you find it many times. In chapter 29, you read it many times. If disobey, if disobedient, then the curses. If you obey, you'll be blessed. And in 1 John, if we confess our sins. And so we find the entire Word of God speak to us. He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord says, come, and I will give you rest. In other words, if we then do respond to His Word, He will give us rest. James 4:8, he says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So He tells us to draw nigh to Him and He promises that He will draw nigh to us. And so we find throughout the Word many of such wonderful texts and promises. Both faith and repentance is the fruit of the work of God's sovereign free gift. But that's not an obstacle. But it's our hope. A joyous and glorious hope. Why is it? Why is it our hope? The congregation, without it, we would never come. But with it and by it, we may come. When prompted, when convicted, when drawn and lured by the Spirit and by the Word of God, we may, yes, we must come. God delights to do it. He delights to give it. That the Lord must give it doesn't mean that it's a hindrance. It is God's delight, the delight of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, that we would respond to His Word and come and receive freely. Acts 5:31, we read, Him, that is the Lord Jesus, hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. To give both the root and the fruit, the repentance and the resulting forgiveness. He's not only a Savior, He's also a Prince. He didn't only earn salvation, He applies it, and He is applying it even now by His Word preached. And He will apply it even further when the Lord's table will be spread in our midst this coming Sabbath day. He truly is a Savior to the uttermost, to those that come to God by Him, is He not? He sends His Holy Spirit to work both conviction as well as hope. Sorrow as well as joy. Fear as well as expectation. All by means of drawing us to confess our sins and simply look to Christ. And put our trust in Him. And follow Him. Whithersoever He leads us. So not only for sanctification, but indeed also for, not only for justification, but also for sanctification. Not only to have our sins forgiven, but also to turn away from sin. A desire, a beginning desire, a failing desire, but it's a beginning desire to live unto Him. Hating sin and departing from it. A desire that it would be rooted out of our life entirely. That's what we see in Josiah. He started to cleanse the nation and he continued it also. Even after he heard the word, we see of that in chapter 23 more. He started already in chapter 22. But the focus is not on ourselves. Not for justification, not for sanctification. But the focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. What He has done, what He still continues to do, even at the right hand of His Father, even now, at this very moment, sending in His Word, sending forth His Holy Spirit. He says, come. Come unto Me. Not only be cleansed by faith, but in response, begin to cleanse your own life also by faith. Trust Me. Follow Me. If that's your life, if that is something that the Lord has begun to teach you, then He says, don't deny Me. Do this, He says, in remembrance of Me. This coming Sabbath day. Then He draws us to obey Him. And it means also to come then to the Lord's table. And a fellowship with Him. To be strengthened in your weak faith. So that you may be stronger in Him when Monday, the Lord willing, you go back into the wilderness of this world. You be truly strengthened instead of weakened. And that you then also will be a witness to others. You see that also with Josiah. What he found, that salvation. He desired that to be for the entire people of Israel. He got all the people together. Chapter 23, verse 2. Both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And notice that there in chapter 23, he begins to speak of the book of the covenant. While in chapter 22, he speaks of the book of the law. And again in chapter 23, verse 21, where he speaks about the Passover, also according to the book of the covenant. In other words, it is all included in the covenant of God. It's not only a command, but it's a provision. May so the Lord use His own word in the sacrament for the assurance of all those who cannot live to the Lord Jesus Christ, and also for their increased obedience. Amen.